So, does anybody know where Madagascar is? Yeah. A lot of people say, oh yeah, I've seen that movie. But actually, what is presented that movie, it couldn't be more different than the truth. It's one of the poorest countries in the world, and people are making like $2 a day there. And it's actually known as a country of slaves, because if you go down the streets, people are just hauling and pushing garbage down the streets with every vein popping out on their neck, and that's how they make their living. So that's why it's known as that country of slaves. And they worship the ancestors, and they worship, they do exhumation and all these things. And so they're always looking to their past to see their future, and they're always worshiping the dead, and that is why we're there, to help bring a paradigm shift, to help bring the knowledge of God, to help bring salvation message to these people. And one of the huge problems there is street children. There's over 30,000 street children on the street, just in the one city of Antananarivo that we live in. Say that three times fast, Antananarivo. They have really long names there. They love that. And get right into it. The Shannon family, our vision is to love orphans and street children and to empower the poor and needy in every aspect of life through the power of God. And there you see Sonia. That's my wife. And thank you again, because you're the ones who got me to Madagascar the first time. And that was the first time where I met my wife, Sonia. She was here. She was right in the back there. And there's my girls, Jesse and Ella, on the left. So those are my two girls, and those other kids' children are my 45 other children. So please, next slide. So the countries that we work in are in Madagascar and Cambodia. So we are still the virtual leaders of Cambodia projects there, but we've left it in the hands of the Cambodian leadership, and it's empowered them, and it's expanding greatly, the ministry there. So here we are, the countries that we're working in, and this is the picture of those children on the left that I told you about, the 30,000 street children. So we're, now I'm going to show you what kind of terrible situation they live in. They are running in fear. They live under little overhangs and little shelters that they can find throughout the city, because they're in danger of human traffickers. The human traffickers are stealing them away and shipping them off to really bad places in the world to never be seen again. Not only that, but they're in danger of body parts trafficking. I literally saw a girl on the street, and she was dead. They had taken her heart out of her body. So they take these body parts and ship them in the black market to China and around the world. So one girl actually came to our feeding tent. This is our feeding tent on the left side. We feed 800 children every day. And one girl came one day and said, oh, I'm so happy that I made it here. I escaped off a scale where they were measuring, they measure their bodies and they try to estimate how much their body weight is so they can estimate how much their body parts are so they can ship them out. And she jumped off the scale and ran to the tent. So these are the type of things that these poor children have to escape and run around the city from to find safety. And on the right here is the contrast of the 45 children that we've saved off the street. And what our job is on the left side is to keep these children alive and to tell them about God. And this is the place the government gave us. On the left is by an open canal, sewage canal, and they give us, and we had to establish a little tent, and these children go in that tent every day and receive their food. All right, next slide, please. So you can see the children here, they don't wear shoes, and they usually, right there is the canal, the open canal, and they go around the city begging for anything they could find. And so a lot of times the relatives will find little babies and put them on the backs of these younger girls, and they go around to try to beg for money. So thousands of street children needing food, love, and education. Next slide, please. And here's just more pictures. You can see more detail on the right side there, the dirty canal. And we line these children line up every day to have that one meal. They only eat one time, and that's with us. All right, next slide, please. All right, thousands of people going without clean water in both countries. The next slide, please. All right. Thousands going without proper medical and dental care. Next. And then, now back to Cambodia. I'm trying to paint the picture how we work in both countries, okay? We also work with anti-human trafficking in Cambodia. You can see the walls of this little house. There is no wall. So you can imagine why are they in danger of human trafficking? People can just reach in and grab them. Bad people come to their villages and say, hey, I'll give your child a job in the city, and them being and not having much education, they will go ahead and say, oh, believe that, but they'll never see their child again. All right, next slide, please. More pictures of Cambodia, the children seeing a water well being installed. Okay, millions of people living in abject poverty without education and the knowledge of God. The problems seem impossible. Next slide. But with God, all things are possible. There's the Madagascar Hope Center. Now, we've always had in our heart a dream and a vision to bring some children off the streets of Madagascar and give them a hope, a home of love, care, and education so they can be raised up and be nation changers. We're going to aim small and get the youngest ones we can find on the street and instill in them the knowledge of God and let them raise up and become nation changers. So just a quick story about how this center was actually established. Basically, God said, I want you to establish that center in the worst place of Antananarivo, the most evil, the most, and basically, it was a porthole to hell. And I'm like, all right, Lord. He's like, obey me now, we'll talk later. And so that's exactly what happened. We just built it and just kept building, and the government was so corrupt, they let us build halfway. Oh, stop, give me some tax money. And then had to find that, scrambling around to find that, found that. Start building again, and basically the government was so corrupt, they just want to enrich themselves. They're just there for themselves. They don't care anything about the children. And it took us 3.5 years to establish this thing, where it should have taken us 6 months. But it's just through all the corruption, the red tape, and all that, but by God's grace, we didn't give up. Amen. Just like we were taught. So the major story of this place, when we were building the foundation, we actually dug up bodies. It was a place where drug deals went down and revenge killings and prostitution. And there was all these really street people living right there. And the government said, yeah, you can have that land right there. And we're like, okay, this is going to be a partner, so-called partnership. So anyway, we didn't know at the time, but across the street was a center, a Muslim center complex, really huge. And they wanted that land also. And so they were trying to intimidate us. They wanted to displace us off that land. They actually had paid $90,000 for that land, corruption money. We had the correct papers. They paid the previous president of that district. And anyway, one day they brought a Muslim gang of 40 people to try to intimidate us to get off the land. And they brought weapons, chains and whips and knives and all this stuff. It was at nighttime. And my assistant was there, and he called me up and said, they're telling us we need to give money or they're going to kill us. And I'm like, just give them some money then for now, and we're going to figure out what to do. Gave him $400. And I told him, come back next Wednesday. So we had this plan, and we'll give you more money. So we had time to plan. So that week we're praying, God, what should we do? Well, my assistant is on a Christian rugby team. All these big guys, right? And I'm like, hey, this could work. This could work. So we got together his Christian rugby team, and I'm giving like this pep talk. Guys, we could die for this, but we're going to do it for God, right? Yeah, you know, get them all riled up. And sure enough, the Muslims came. Militant Muslims. They came to the gate. Give us money or die. And they had four of them lined up. And my assistant walked out with our two attack dogs and said to the leader, you're nothing, we're never giving you money again. And all of the people, all of them got into an offensive position, and our guys came out, filed out one by one, and faced them all down. And when they saw how big they were and that they weren't intimidated, they ran. Half of them ran directly. The other half stayed for the beatdown of their life. Enough said. So God works in mysterious ways. So by God's grace, again, we didn't give up in the midst of, terrible conditions, and no one could succeed against these tactics if God wasn't there. So by God's grace, it happened. Boom, there it is. By God's grace, it's a great victory. Next slide, please. So this is also the Cambodia Life Center that we built in 2007. It was built, and next slide, please. And so God first called us to Cambodia in 2005, where we built the Cambodia Life Center, a home of love and education for 33 orphans and 350 impoverished students. Okay, next slide, please. We do the water wells also in both countries. Next slide. Just showing you what we do, water wells. We've done 1,000 water wells by God's grace in a decade, in 10 years. So, and all these water wells are place a point of, we can preach the gospel, we can disciple people, and obviously they have clean water so they can live their life well. No pun intended. Okay, next. So here's our clinics and everything. We've actually, through the clinics, we've preached the gospel to over 15,000 people just in Madagascar alone. Okay, next slide, please. All right, we have preached the gospel to over 100,000 people, and we also have a strong anti-human trafficking ministry of prevention. We warn young children and families about the dangers of human trafficking and how to prevent it. In Cambodia, it's like Bible times. You can get a group of 1,000 people together, preach the gospel to them. They're all raising their hand to acknowledge that they want salvation because they know Buddha's not the answer, and they know that the way that Buddha's not going to bring them salvation. So they know they need a savior. And then we actually connect them to churches. There's churches developing out in these areas that we preach the gospel to. So again, this is all of your fruit. Praise God. Okay, we have had our first orphans graduate from the Cambodia Life Center, and they have gone on to Bible college, and now they will be going on to university. This is the most amazing thing, because a decade later, we finally see the fruit of the orphans going out from the Cambodia Life Center. One, Champai, he's going to go to school for international studies. The other, Samoan, he's going to go to school for international studies. And the girl, she's back into Bible college. And they're off, you know, when they went to Bible college already with DTS YWAM in Battambang, they're preaching the gospel. They're casting out demons. They're going out and they're doing exactly what the Bible's telling us to do. And these three, that's the nation changer. So we're seeing it come full circle into reality that God, a decade later, we're seeing the fruit that they'll become nation changers. Okay, next one. All right, just like I said before, we bring these children. They all live around the Life Center in Cambodia. They're very young children, and they're coming from two very poor villages that surround the Life Center. And the testimony is that, oh, my children used to swear and curse at me, and they never used to obey. But now they love us. It's amazing, you know. And the two villages don't fight anymore against each other. And those children are bringing the salvation message out to them. So, next slide, please. So, we are now in the process of building another center called the Cambodia Safe House, which will be a home for very young girls who have been trapped in sexual slavery. We will rescue these girls from the brothels and give them a new home of love and education. So, we're actually right in the process of building this new center on the other side of Cambodia. It's exactly as big as the Life Center. And we're actually, there's girls tucked away in the way back, 8 to 12 year olds that are in these brothels that are hidden. And we're going to partner with the police, and we're going to raid these brothels and bring these girls to this home of love and education. Glory to God. Okay, next one, please. Okay, so all these ministries continue on today through our organization called Empowerment Advocates International. So there's the inside of that main building where we use it as a multi-purpose building. We preach the gospel, we disciple, we have education. And there's our fish farm, which Pastor alluded to, where it's amazing. That little pond in the back is actually like, it's like harvesting the ocean. It's unbelievable because it's just like that many fish came out of that little pond in the back. And it's tilapia and Pangasius catfish. And we're just like scratching the surface with this stuff. Because on the center that you just saw, we have 27 acres. We'd love, all we got to do is excavate some land, excavate the ponds, and we can load them up with these fish, and we'd be able to feed poor children throughout Cambodia. All right, next slide, please. Okay, so there's another picture. We have our school buildings around our basketball court. The basketball court was the first thing I built, by the way. Okay, next slide, please. So in 2011, God called us to empower the Cambodian leaders and hand over the operation management to them. Ever since we did this, the ministry in Cambodia has expanded greatly. Okay, well, just one second. That little center here, we have 23 provinces in Cambodia. We've got three of these mini centers on each one of those provinces. We got 20 more to build. So that was our goal. Every province, and they'll be able to learn English and have a higher standard of education. All right, next slide, please. All right, so then God called us back to Madagascar, where we have been ministering to street children through our feeding tent, where we feed 800 children. Next slide, please. You can see them. They look actually like they're part of the street. They don't have proper clothes, and they don't bathe or anything. This canal is where they do everything in, basically wash their hands. Well, we actually give them a jerry can to wash their hands properly, but you know, they use the bathroom, wash their clothes that they do have, even drinking sometimes. because, you know, they don't have a proper faucet. The government doesn't even allow us to install a faucet for these children to wash their hands. That shows you how corrupt they are. Okay, next slide, please. So here's a video of the place that we live in and the place that we minister. It's right near a bus stop, and you can see the children just everywhere. And, okay, next one, please. Just showing you kind of, you know, what life is like there. So on the other side, people are throwing all kinds of dirty garbage into that canal. Okay, next one. A lot of times, people can only go to that. I bring them from the airport. They can only stay at that feeding tent for 20 minutes. They're like, I'm sorry. I love the kids. I got to go. Just because of the smells and because of the putrid, living conditions that these people live in. And actually, I'll bring them from the airport. A lot of times, they just start weeping just as we're driving down the street because the way these people live, it's just so impoverished. These children live a life of absolute fear as they must run and hide from place to place from rapists and human traffickers. You can see the worried look on their face, and, you know, they look much older than they actually are because they don't have fun. They're just trying to survive. All right, next picture, please. You know, they beg for small change in the day. They do hard labor like carrying water, or they'll just grow up to be washers of clothes, that type of thing, if it carries on the way it is. All right, next slide, please. They push and haul things around the city like I mentioned. You can go to the next. Many of the children say the only time they eat is when they come to the feeding tent. One meal a day. That's all they can eat. Can you imagine trying to live and grow up in this type of situation and being in danger of human traffickers? All right, next slide, please. So, as I said, many of the children have no parents. They sleep directly on the street. Many also have one parent, with one having died or is an alcoholic or has gone insane. Everyone is living in abject poverty, making an average of no more than a dollar a day. All right, next slide, please. Okay, we feed the children, and then we also share with them about God through the 17 Stories program. So every time, just before they eat, they come in groups of 200, and then we share the gospel message with them, and we share, like, stories of Abraham, all the stories of the Bible, and they get a little card that actually will represent the story that we're talking about. And that little card is just something so dear and precious to them, they'll take it with them everywhere, and they will never let it go. Okay, next, please. All right, the children thank God for the food. And, you know, whenever I think I have problems, I go to the feeding tent, and I realize I don't have any problems. And I realize that, you know, God is right there with us as we're feeding these children. Okay, next slide, please. When we then feed the children a nutritious meal, you can see in the midst of everything, they got a smile on their face. Next slide, please. We just basically cook the food right on site. You'll see how we roll. Basically, we have an outdoor kitchen, and we have three big pots, and we just cooked that food right there in the midst of the city. Okay, next. There's Sonia passing out food, Jessiella passing out food. So we're very hands-on people, you know, very hands-on situation. Okay, next, please. So in contrast, look at the joy and the happiness in this little girl's life. She's no longer in fear of human trafficking. She now has a meal, three meals a day. This is a girl who's been rescued and saved into the Hope Center. Okay, next slide. So as I mentioned before, we've always had in our heart to have established this Hope Center. So this little girl, she was sleeping on the street. Now she has a nice warm bed to sleep in. Next, please. And now they have education, which is going to empower them to become nation changers. And you can see Sonia is just like, she's managing this whole thing. They're actually learning three languages, French, English, Malagasy. And you can imagine just a year ago, they were sleeping on the streets with no future. That's who God is. That's how God works, you know? Okay, next. You see the adorable little cute little kids. And those are the ones, like I said, we're aiming small so that we can raise them up big. All right, so next. More pictures of that. Sorry, I'm almost done here. Next. We've got the bunk beds now for all the kids. The bathrooms are inside, so they're all protected and nice and safe. Next, please. All right, so here's, you can just run this. This is give you the idea of the joy on the children's faces when they have a nice bed. I just love to see that, you know. And they're so loving and kind and so respectful, and they just realize the opportunity that God's given them. All right, so you've seen that. You get the idea. But it's just a great place. So now it's a home of 45 street children. Sonia on the left, Jesse in the middle, Ella on the right. They just love them like little sisters and brothers. Okay, next, please. And I'm in charge of the sports program. And I had to take a picture to prove it. So, you can see this little girl, Faniri, in the bottom. She actually had these scratch marks on her face, really, really deep. And we found out, what was that from? It's from herself doing that before she came into the Hope Center. because she was so stressed out by living on the streets, by seeing the fear, by seeing the terrible evil that goes on there and the fear that she had. And now look at her. She's totally clean and she has joy and love in her heart. Okay, next please. More little cute little pictures. These little girls live right across the wall from us on the street. Can you imagine? Little girls like this living on the street. Okay, next. And then we teach them how to love each other and not make fun of each other. And that spirit, the spirit of God is there. And that's bringing healing to their lives, you know. And, you know, they're just, it's as if they're just like any other kid. They are any other child. And they don't deserve to live on those streets. And we're just trying to make that difference. It's like the starfish, you know. There's so many of them out there. How can you make a difference? But we're making a difference with these 45 children. And they can be raised up to be nation changers. Okay, next, please. Back to education. Next, please. Like I said, they're learning three languages. Next. It just shows you more pictures of the education. So we actually have the education and all in the same building. So we have a wall separating the dormitory. Okay, next, please. More pictures of education. And then these children are learning about God and how much He loves them. So they pray for us. They pray for everybody, you know, the situation we've got going on, and they just absolutely know God. So next, please. And then situations, you know, this type of stuff, as you might know, as you realize, is not easy because these places are places where the devil had control for hundreds of years, and you're going in and say, pioneering and say, okay, God, make a difference in this place. Little boy picked up a rock, smashed his little girl in the nose, and he was only like 3.5 years old. And I'm like, why in the world would a child do something? God told me, pray for every one of them and break the curses over their life that it's like the sins of the fathers trying to come back and wreak havoc. And we prayed over them. Each one, the Holy Spirit would touch their lives. Many of them just weep for a long time as the Holy Spirit touches their life, heals them, takes the weight off their shoulders. We've never had another problem with that little boy. Everybody's at peace and joy in that place now. Praise God. All right, next, please. Okay, these children are receiving 3 meals a day, a warm bed, and a beautiful place to stay. Next slide, please. Okay, before they knew only about survival, now they can truly live a life of freedom. We just built that swing set before I left. And as they line up, it's very popular. As they line up, they practice their French alphabet. They pick the French alphabet. They get on the swing. So it's working out nicely. It's sustainable. It's synergy. Okay, next one, please. So just to give you an idea how their lives changed. Before, they love to play with rocks. And the rocks are like mother, father, sisters, and brothers. And that's how they grew up, like on the streets playing with these. And when they first came in, they're like, it was always about violence. I'm going to smack you because you did this. You know, Little Rock, I'm going to smack you and we're going to fight. And now they're like, Little Rock, I love you, Little Rock. And the father rock loves the children rocks and the mother. And it's just amazing to see that their life has changed and God is into even in their rock play. So, you know, we give them good sports materials like the soccer ball. But they always go back to like this like primitive stuff. Hey, whatever. Okay, next. Like, look, see the little boy with the tire, and he gets 2 broomsticks, and he pushes it along. We gave him all these matchbox stuff, but they go to that stuff. So, jumping rocks and jumping ropes and all that. Okay, next, please. And more swing. Next. It's a great victory by God's grace. You can see the joy on those children's face. You can't fake that. Next one, please. If these children continue to live on the street, the boys would surely become men who push and haul things around the city. And the girls would grow up and become washers of clothes and water carriers. You know, it'd just be a cycle of poverty over and over and over unless we all stand in the gap for these children. Okay, next slide, please. We as a family wish to stand in the gap in Cambodia and Madagascar. Next slide, please. Would you please consider to partner with us to help make nation changers for God throughout the world? So basically, you know, we're finding so far right now that $2 actually a day actually would transform a child's life from the street into a center. And our goal, we want to reach 30,000 kids. So you can imagine, we have a big God. He's given us a big vision. And so, you know, for the price of a cup of coffee at Starbucks, we can bring a child off the street and bring them into a center like this. So we praise God for that. You know, and that's just something to consider as we think about this. Okay, next slide, please. Oh, thank you for your support. And that's it. And thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate seeing you all again and coming here again. And, you know, I look forward to all of the great times in the future. Like, the best is yet to come. Praise God. Thank you.